Welcome in to Arrowhead Pride Radio.
And Mahomes is on fire!
Here's the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens.
Wednesday night, Arrowhead Pride Radio here on 610 Sports Radio. One more week. That means the Chiefs keep winning. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here.
That's right.
It'd be after hours. No Pete Sweeney.
Terrible.
Be after hours. The Cody and Gold, probably.
You think so?
I mean, yeah, probably. Yeah. They get it all. They will be covering the Super Bowl this year for your enjoyment here on 610 Sports Radio, your home for exclusive Chiefs content. We got the man of the season. Man, yeah. Here we are again. Back-to-back championship runs. This time it's in Vegas. Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens, Grant Nicholson with you all tonight until 7 o'clock. We'll have Ron Kopp Jr., lead film analyst, come on at 6:15 like he always does. Yo, Pete, at the end of the show, 913-586-7610 as we dive into the AP mailbag. Pete, right off the cusp, out of nowhere, biggest surprise of this season?
Biggest surprise of this season?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more of the how the Chiefs got there as opposed to them being there. I think they found a way. But I think if you were to describe that they would get to this point on a defense-first basis, I think it would have surprised a lot of people last year just because Patrick Mahomes has always been the spearhead of everything the Chiefs have done and accomplished as far as playoff games and championship-wise. I guess that's on the field.
Mm.
Off the field, of course, is the Taylor Swift-sized elephant in the room. I don't think any of us had this in the cards of Taylor Swift being the most famous Chiefs fan that exists right now. So,
what was, in your opinion, the turning point?
Of the season?
Yeah. Because they're the Super Bowl, man.
Yeah, I think came late. I think it was the Raiders' loss.
That's where I'm at.
I think that was when they really had to turn inward and said, you know, are we going to be this one-and-done team who loses in the first round of the playoffs, or are we going to turn it around now and find a way to make a run and find a way for the offense to be good enough and lean in our defense and not maybe be as aggressive as we have been in the past with trying to move the ball, take what's in front of us, and sometimes having to punt the ball and do that to win games. And I think they found a method that worked for them, and it's led them to, I think what's crazy about this run is it feels like maybe the worst of the teams that the Chiefs have had in the postseason, but the toughest road, and it hasn't really mattered. You know, they have just found a way when the game and the season was on the line, and they continue to do so in a variety of different ways.
Do you think if they do with, because they're four quarters away from winning a Super Bowl, as the season obviously shrinks throughout the time, do you think that they are, do you think that if they do win this game, there will be a moment where it comes out that there was like an all-team meeting of, because we talked about it on the show, I thought Christmas Day was rock bottom. I thought there was one of two ways you could go from that point on, which I'm glad that you said that was your prediction of, or where you think the season turned around. Because I said on Monday night, they broke into a million pieces. And you can either stay broken and you know, cry over what's not right or try to fix what's never going to be fixed, and or you can build yourself back together and come back even stronger. And since that game, correct me if I'm wrong, they haven't lost.
Yeah.
Right? They win in New England. They win against Cincinnati, and in the New England game was the last time we would ever see Kadarius Toney, right? He has the tip pass for interception.
Yeah.
And that was the last time we saw him. And then they simplified the offense. The very next week, they go and get their T-shirts against Cincinnati, and then they win the no-contest game, I guess, against the Chargers. And then what is this playoff run, which I think is quite impressive, which is where we can kind of take off before we get into a fake but somewhat real injury report of what's coming this week, because practice will start tomorrow, and then they'll start to ramp things up for the Super Bowl.
We have an estimated one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested to think if how much you put on the fact that these guys are just that damn good, right? Mahomes, Kelce, and Reed, and Rashee Rice. I think at times Andy Reid can, you know, maybe be a little bit mesmerized, right? Because you don't ever really see rookies take off like this.
Right.
And I'm wondering if it just took like an all-team thing, or if this is one of those things where like it's an Andy and Pat conversation of, well, what do you like about the offense? What do I like about the offense? What can we make that we both like? And it turned out that the whole part of it was run the ball, trust your defense, just get points, and you'll win the game. And ever since they got into this gauntlet, which was the AFC playoffs, right, you had Miami at home. You can't predict the weather. That's just conditions of playoff football. If you don't like it, win more games, and you can have that game at your house. The other thing is, you look at what was the next week after Miami, which was Buffalo on the road. Kim Mahomes went on the road. The offense is not perfect, but it's better. And then you see this game against Baltimore this past weekend. And this game could have been very easily two different ball games. I guess three. The one that it was, 17-7, it could have very easily, in my opinion, been 35-3. Or it could have been the Baltimore Ravens winning this game. All of those outcomes were there, but it was because Baltimore didn't play perfect. And against the Chiefs in the playoffs, you have to be perfect, which is just crazy to think from where this whole season was, where they were very imperfect.
Yeah. I think it's been a playoffs where if we were in the middle of the season and we just saw how the Chiefs offense was performing, and then you had to say, all right, you're going to host Miami, but then you're going to play Buffalo on the road, then you're going to play Baltimore on the road. Did we really think that they were going to be able to go on this run? I think there were good reasons to have doubts about that. But now I think kudos to the team for taking every game one at a time. I mean, I know it's made fun of as a cliche, but they really focus in on the one team and are like, okay, well, if we can get by this team, we'll just go on to the next week. And you'd mentioned, like, is it too big for Rashee Rice? It's been an emphatic no. Just being around him, I mean, he doesn't act like a rookie at all. It almost is like the game is just kind of a job for him, and you could tell that there's nothing that really rattles him. Just a really, really good football makeup where, like I said, it just doesn't seem like anything kind of gets it to him. It doesn't matter that they're playing for as much as they're playing for, and that's been a key part. I mean, it's been a key part of this three-headed monster that has been Travis Kelce and Isaiah Pacheco, and now you're sprinkling in some Marquez Valdes-Scantling is coming up in a big spot and gave him a lot of heat this year.
How about it? How about our guy?
Just
Team MVS over here.
And yeah, and kudos to him.
Whole season.
You know, to be criticized, and, you know, there's a case to be made, rightfully so, but to not let that get to you and find a way to make these big catches in the biggest of games. This is a Super Bowl or bust city. So, sure, you can have a bad season, but if you come up big in these games, it really isn't going to matter how you did in the regular season. People will remember you as someone who came up immensely big in the playoffs. And now this is two AFC title games in a row where you really needed Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and he played really well, you know, and good for him. Tough year, but a really great finish.
Open up your eardrums.
It's a new week in the NFL, which means it's time to take a look at the new injury report for the Chiefs.
Guitar, please. All right, no injury report to really give out officially, but we can do an estimated one because there were some injuries in that game. There's still some that are lingering from weeks before. The floor is yours, Pete Sweeney.
Yeah, the Chiefs didn't practice today. They'll get on with three practices starting tomorrow. We'll be out there tomorrow. So check arrowheadpride.com for all the updates that we have. But this was an estimated injury report. The four players not practicing would have been Chris Jones, Isaiah Pacheco, Charles Omenihue, and Joe Tooney. Omenihue, certainly not expected to play in this game. Doesn't look like Tooney will. Nothing to be worried about for me with Jones and Pacheco. They'll be all right to go. Limited would have been Sky Moore, Willie Gay Jr., and Legarius Sneed. I think Willie Gay was close based upon seeing him and his dancing after the game. I think he was close this last game. I got to think in 2 weeks he should be good to go. We'll see if the Chiefs activate more. I think Sneed will be fine. And then just a bunch of full practices. Notable here, Kadarius Toney would have practiced fully, but he's no longer listed with an injury. It says personal. So I wonder what that means. We will see how this injury report develops as we go. This is a very unique week because we get an injury report this week, almost as if the game was being played this weekend, and then we'll get another injury report next week and see how it changes.
Biggest concern on that injury report, Omenihue?
Well, Omenihue would be your biggest concern, but we know he's done.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah,
he's just going to be moved to injured reserve. I think if the players who could possibly play in this game that are listed here with limited or DNP, it's got to be Chris Jones and Snead. I don't think there's anything to worry about there, but it is notable that Jones was just a straight-up DNP today. Snead, limited, has to be expected. He's been nursing this calf thing as we go here.
Chris Jones probably has a shin bruise from being tripped in the end zone and not getting a safety call, but the Chiefs get all the calls. I don't know. I just work here.
Whoa.
I just work
Whoa,
here.
Oh, really?
They have video. I mean, it's actually happened.
Yeah.
Coming up on the other side, Ron Kopp Jr., the lead film analyst of Arrowhead Pride, will join us. He'll be here for a good time to answer some questions from Pete and myself as he watched this Ravens game very closely, probably more than once. He's probably super jacked. No more basketball, so we get full attention, Ron Kopp Jr. And don't forget, at the end of the show at 6:45, yo, Pete, you can ask Pete anything. 913-586-7610. You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Must be nice. Arrowhead Pride Radio. This is Blur, right?
Woohoo! Yeah. A little early on the woohoo.
You know me. I don't know what that means, but
PG, you're always trying to teeter along PG-13, but this is Arrowhead Pride Radio.
I think I've done a really damn good job of just absolutely doing it.
It's for everybody.
Hey, man. See if anybody emails your boss. Anyways, it is Wednesday night. Ron Kopp Jr., lead film analyst of Arrowhead Pride, joins us. By the way, Blur, same lead singer as the Gorillaz. You're welcome with your music knowledge tonight. Today I learned, named Pete Sweeney. Ron, how are you this evening on a Wednesday night? Continued into the Super Bowl week because they just keep winning.
They just keep winning. They absolutely do. It's another Super Bowl, and I'm here to say, people, anyone who's listened to this program or any podcast that I've been on this year, I've been on the pessimistic side, so I definitely didn't think they'd be here. So I'm so happy to be wrong. I'm very happy to be wrong.
Yeah, you hate to see it.
Why are they here?
Why are they here?
Yeah.
Because I will tell you right now, it's because they simplified the game plan, they simplified the offense, and they said, look, we're going to rely on the best players in this offense, and we've talked about it. That's obviously Mahomes and Kelce, but that's Pacheco, and that's Rice. And that's also this offensive line when they're run blocking, they're asked to get downhill and just fire off and control the game. Because I think that's one thing, an underrated thing about this playoff run is, you know, this offensive line, I think, you know, throughout the year got, you know, a lot of criticism and maybe didn't live up to the expectation that we all have for them. But, man, they have absolutely owned the line of scrimmage for most of the time this postseason. You know, obviously they didn't get the run game as efficient as they probably would have liked in Baltimore, but they absolutely still, you know, held their own in pass protection enough. And again, they did create enough run plays and you know, obviously, you know, just did enough in Baltimore. So give credit to the offensive line, too. I think they've really stepped up and have really been the kind of the underlying foundation for this run.
Yeah, if you're a Chiefs fan, you got to feel really good about where the team is at right now. And I know I want to talk about the defense in Baltimore because it just was outstanding. But, Ron, to just lean into a little bit of that good old cop pessimism, what did you see between the first half and the second half? Because I think if there's any concern about the offense right now, it's that they were blanked in the second half. What changed?
Right. And you do have to give credit to the Ravens defense, because that's one thing when you look back and you watch, you know, a guy like Kyle Hamilton, the safety, the second year all pro, man, he is a very, very good player. And he was all over the place, taking away a lot of things. And it's why it made some of those catches Kelce made and some of the plays they made together, Mahomes and Kelce, even more special, because him, linebacker Roquan Smith, I mean, they really were, you know, flying around and taking away stuff in the second half, making it a lot harder for the run game to get going, making it a lot harder for Mahomes to find things. But what I will say is they did take that 10-point lead into halftime. Mm-hmm. And I really do think there's a level of conservativeness, yeah, you know, that they kind of turn to. And I think Mahomes – we just went with his fourth game without a turnover where they played per PFF or an interception, right? I think he really did buy into that and really, you know, really played into, you know, I'm not going to force anything. I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to hold on to the ball if it's not there, or I'm going to, you know, check it down. And they made enough plays right in the second half. You know, the third down at one point to Kelce kept one drive sustained for a little bit. And then obviously at the end, So I think I wouldn't worry too much about it. I think the Ravens defense is very good. And honestly, to look ahead, I don't think the 49ers defense is as good as the Ravens defense. That's one thing I'd say.
What I heard there, Dusty, is Ron saying that Patrick leaned into being a game manager.
Ooh.
And recently, Alex Smith called himself the unofficial president of the Game Managers Club. So we learned from the best. Sometimes you got to manage that game.
That's fair. I mean, if that gets you to the Super Bowl to manage every damn game you want the rest of your career, I'll be fine with that. I know Pete will probably ask one after this, but I do want to come back and ask you a question about San Francisco. I know you probably haven't like completely dove into that yet, and we got another week at least with this show, but I do want to ask you about Travis Kelce. Pete was talking on After Hours on Monday night about how vital that week off was in week 18 against the Chargers, but it also just kind of seems like there's like that it's still there, like almost. And again, I would never accuse anybody of milking it throughout, but it seems like Travis Kelce, the pro that he is, the age that he is, has kind of like just, you know, prepared himself or prepped himself perfectly. And then the playoffs start, and I get it, the clock goes faster for others and the game gets a little more tense, but man, this is the best we've seen Travis Kelce all year at the perfect time.
Absolutely. I mean, you could almost say that was one of the most impressive games of his entire career. When you look at the impact he was making, touchdown catch he had again against Hamilton, those long arms,
sick,
to seal him away, to kind of have the late hands where he didn't, you know, he talked about that on his podcast. You know, you really have to you wait till the very last possible second to get those hands out, because that's when the defender is going to go try to attack it. But I will tell you this, in terms of Kelce, That third down play where Mahomes scrambles for about 10 seconds, right, and eventually throws it to him over the middle, the way he's able to torque his body and twist and make that catch, that is not a player it needs to retire soon, right? Like, that is not a guy that's going to retire soon kind of play. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a fresh body that, like he said after the game, I can't remember who tweeted that out, but, you know, he said, I got 11 more years in me. I feel like that, you know, there was a video catching him saying that, so. I don't know, man. It was a special performance, and I do think the rest definitely helped. But I also do think, you know, Mahomes and Kelce, just the connection, those two just turning it on at the right time. I think it really was a special performance. It was an all-time legendary Hall of Fame kind of game from both of them.
I'm with you, and the way that he's kind of changed his attitude on the retirement question, going back to this idea that he doesn't want to get off the train anytime soon, is starting to lead me to believe that. And I've said this, but I think he's eyeing Tony G's career record. I mean, I know it seems like it would be impossible for him to get, but you keep putting together these 1,000-yard seasons, are getting close. It won't take it as long as you think. Ron, I want to ask you about the defense. Great game out of them. I know you love the play by Legarius Sneed, and you feel good about the way Chris Jones looked. A big loss, though, for Kansas City with Charles Emenihu going down. How do they possibly replace Emenihu, especially with how good he's looked toward the end of the season?
Yeah, he's been their second best defensive lineman down the stretch, you know, behind Chris Jones. I mean, you could say Karloftis, but I really think Omenihu's been that impactful. And really the thing is, he's just become such a good edge rusher. That's something that I didn't really expect we'd get from him this year. And so that is a tough loss. And I do think you're going to have to see more from Mike Dana and Karloftis. I think Dana's had a quiet second half of the year. And again, he's a hustle player. But I think you do need to get a little more out of him. But also Felix Anudike-Uzomah is going to get his shot on pass downs, right? I think you'll see Malik Herring get a lot of the D end on early down snaps when it's more, you know, run play possibility, especially against this Niners offense where, you know, a run play could really, you know, they have a really good run scheme. But when we're talking third down, we're talking a pass down, you will see Felix, I think, get some opportunity off the edge. And, hey, early in the season, you know, he had a forced fumble at one point. He had a few quarterback hits. You know, I think it would be good to get him, you know, loose and see what he can do, because I think, you know, it's been a long season for him, and maybe he's you know, further along than we think, because we haven't really seen him in a while.
Ooh. All right. I do want to ask you a little question about San Francisco before we get into next week's diabolical scheme, but it kind of seems like from a rough draft approach, you think Debo, Ayuk, Kittle, McCaffrey. McCaffrey is who he is, but you'd have to think that this is one of those games where, like, it seems like it's Miami all over again, right? Like, it's a high-powered offense with a lot of good talent. You got to think Legarius Sneed gets the Debo Samuel role and Trent McDuffie gets the Brandon Ayuk role, and then we'll figure out Justin Reed or somebody else maybe on George Kittle, but it's kind of like a rough draft to where we could kind of see matchups from the defense to that offense.
Yeah, no, I think the Dolphins, you know, they can just watch back to the Dolphins games, right, and kind of see, you know, how they defended those. Obviously, they are different offenses. The Dolphins are more predicated on speed. The Niners can be more physical, you know, right at you kind of and kind of stay in that same personnel where, you know, Kyle Juszczyk can be a receiver and a fullback, right? You know, Christian McCaffrey can be a receiver and a running back. George Kittle can line out wide and be a fullback, you mm-hmm. know, tight end, all that. So, you know, and Debo can be the run. You know, they have so many different things they can do. But that's the thing is the Chiefs are strong at the linebacker position. They're strong at their, you know, second level of the defense with the corners and safeties. And that is why they defended the Dolphins offense so well, because they are able to, you know, defend the run and the pass kind of simultaneously because they're talented at those positions I just mentioned. They just got to lean on that again. They really do. The not having Omenihu is going to hurt them, though. I do think the defensive line is definitely going to, you know, need a little more help from the backers to kind of come up and make plays. And so the run game might be a little, you know, a little tougher. And that's where they did get the Dolphins offense, right, is getting in those third and longs. So if they can't get to those third and longs as much against the Niners, it will be tougher. But I am confident in the back end, the back seven kind of, you know, playing physical like we've seen them do all year.
All right, Ron, it's the week before the Super Bowl, quiet before the storm. What do you got going on over at Arrowhead Pride? And what kind of work are you going to be doing this week as we gear up for the San Francisco matchup where, again, the Chiefs are underdogs?
Yes, they are. I know, right? They've been underdogs. I saw Nick Wright actually tweet this out. Four out of the last six playoff games they've played, the Chiefs.
Love to see it.
It is kind of crazy, but yeah, we do have a Mahomes Kelsey review up. We'll also be looking at the Chiefs defense a little further. You know, with their playoff run, kind of what exactly has been the key to success in these three games. So you'll see that sometime by the end of this week. Besides that, man, we'll have Super Bowl content next week. I'm fired up, dude. Another great matchup. I mean, that's the thing. This is a star-studded matchup. The Niners have so much talent, name talent. We just kind of talked about it. So, I mean, it's going to be a great matchup. I'm fired up for it. We'll have it all.
All right, Ron, we'll talk to you next Wednesday. Closer and closer to the Super Bowl. You take care and continue to keep doing the great work over there at Pride Radio.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all.
You got it. Take care, Ron. It's Ron Kopp, the lead film analyst over at One Arrowhead Pride.
He's excited. You could hear the excitement.
How can you not be a Super Bowl, man?
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Fourth time.
I could just
6 years.
I could hear him in the lab right now. I mean, he's trying to churn out that Super Bowl content for you. Yep. He'll be here next week in my
yeah, because you'll be in the Super Bowl.
I'll be in Vegas. I'm going to call in. It will be reversed. Ron will be sitting here next week, mm-hmm. and I'll be calling in like he does.
I had no idea until just now that was happening. That's crazy.
You know, I'm going to let you know how we plan the show, man.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate that. That's Pete Sweeney, the chief editor over at Arrowhead Pride Radio. This is Grant Nicholson and Dusty Likens that normally do after hours. You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
I don't want to be premature.
I ain't having it. Feeling bad, I got sunshine. In a bag, I'm useless.
That's right.
The future is going on.
Oh, man. Live at Coachella, Pete Sweeney.
The Gorillaz, man.
Yeah.
Great jam.
Would you ever go to, like, a concert venue like that where it's just outside?
No.
Okay.
No. Mm-mm. Maybe in my 20s. That time is coming fast.
What if I get an extra Blink-182 ticket? Would you go to that with me?
Hmm.
That's in August, right before
my
birthday.
You can get a Blink-182 ticket for me?
Mm-hmm.
Say it ain't so.
Mm-hmm.
No, I wouldn't.
I'd get you everything except a Super Bowl ticket.
Okay.
Apparently.
Yeah, I don't need that. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm all set up.
Do you kind of hope that you get on all these, like, national shows during this week? Or do you kind of just, like, it is what it is? Like, have you been reached out yet by, like, McAfee or, like, NFL Network or Monday Morning Quarterback?
No. Pro Football Network has reached out. Sometimes they'll come week of more. Mm-hmm. It's fun. I'll do them if I can.
If I can, that's so funny. You're so humbly.
The Chiefs are busy in the morning.
If I can.
I got a lot to do.
Hey, it's Pat McAfee. You want to come on my show? Yeah, sure. Hey, some other nerd will give me his practice.
I gotta see if it fits in the schedule, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet.
It's tough.
What's your favorite part? This is your fourth Super Bowl, right?
I covered the Tampa one from my house.
Because of COVID, right?
Yeah, as it turned out, there was going to be no in-person interviews that year. We did it all on Zoom, and you could even log into the Zoom from KC, so it didn't make sense for a lot of us to go. But didn't do that one. I've done the other two, which ended up being wins. I'm not a huge like opening night person. There's just a lot to cover, and that's just very, very difficult when you're just a party of one like myself. Yeah, I don't know. I think what I like about it is whatever city you end up going to, like there's a very big palpable buzz for the game. And when you run into fans of either team, I mean, you can really feel how excited they are. And it's an event. Yeah. It should be a once in a lifetime event, but it's now four times in a lifetime.
I'm kidding, it's serious.
I know it. It's great. I mean, it should be. It feels like it's.
I mean, imagine going to three games.
Every time you're there, you're like, wow, this is like really wild. I don't know if I'll ever.
Do you think Cody and Gold go to the game? Like, another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Usher's going to be
here.
Did
you say? I don't remember.
I love Usher.
Did you say you were going with them?
No, dude.
No.
They're even taking one of my shows during the week.
Oh, wow. That's tough. Dude. I'm sorry, man.
Why would you be sorry? It is what it is.
I wish you were on, for your own slot. That'd be dope, dude.
That'd be so cool.
That's great. But you know what? Look, they're good. They'll fill in that.
Will you go to the Sphere inside and see the aquarium show if they have one? Say the ticket's $100. Would you pay for it?
Well, Carrington wants to go to all these parties on the weekend. He's going to be there on the weekend. Did you know that?
Yeah, he's going to be out there with this buddy.
So I'm going to.
He's got a lot of connections.
Yeah, that's what he says. I don't even know how he knows.
He's got the mayor, Nick Wright, Danny Parkins. Has a lot of connections.
Yeah.
High connections.
Three for three. Yep, super high.
I got Dan Weinbaum.
Yeah, I know that. I think the only Vegas thing I have on the docket right now, I want to play in a poker tournament on Friday because the Chiefs media ends on Thursday. So.
Oh, you want to be like Phil Hellmuth out there?
I'm not going to do it.
You seem like
one.
That kind of guy if you lose.
I'm willing to spend like $100 on a poker tournament. Might be fun, And then who knows?
Might be fun.
The cards go your way, right? You got some pocket change for the weekend. That'd be good.
Ooh, nice. 2-point underdogs, man. Again, here we go.
Right.
I really don't get Vegas, right? Like, this is all Vegas, right? Like, you have the Chiefs, again, in the Super Bowl, again, the underdog, and as Ron Kopp alluded to it, I think Nick Wright, Carrington's guy, who will probably also be at the Super Bowl, also at the parade.
You think he'll be there?
Dude, he was at the last parade, like, dapping up like Kelsey. Like, he's like that guy. He's there, man.
Fellow guy who's gone with the long hair. You love to see it.
You do, especially when you can pull it off. I'll look like Corey Matthews from Boy Meets World if I try to grow my hair
out. I think
not a good look for me.
Single.
Not
a
good look.
A lot of people liked Corey back
in
the day.
No, they don't. I used to have it and never got any attention. Anyways, yeah, another underdog. You would think that Vegas would see the numbers, but that just isn't how Vegas works, apparently. They look at this as like a total, what I think, a roster v. roster, and that's how they come up with the spread. It's Brock Purdy versus Mahomes, which I would think immediately, you'd be like, okay, well, advantage Chiefs. Andy Reid versus Kyle Shanahan. Andy Reid. Defense versus that. I don't know, man. I just don't know how they figure out underdogs again in Vegas.
Yeah, I it's closer to pick 'em for me, but what are we talking about? We're talking about 2 points,
Plus 105 on the money line right now for the Chiefs.
I'm surprised.
Grant's already hammered it.
Grant's hammered it?
He's already hammered the Chiefs to win it.
How many unis did we put on it?
Two.
Woo!
Two big unis.
Two big unis with sunshine in a bag.
Yeah. Good for you, Grant. I think that's a good bet. Yeah, I don't know why the Chiefs are the end. It's hard to explain. I would actually think that they would be slightly favored the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really believe in your team, which I know a lot of you do, might want to consider the alt spread, like a minus 2.5 on the Chiefs side.
Ooh, I like your thinking.
And you get a little bit of that bonus juice.
What's the biggest matchup going into it a week and a half out that you see for the Chiefs defense versus San Francisco's offense?
Chiefs defense versus San Francisco's offense. Well, what San Francisco doing what Baltimore refused to do, which is run with the best part of your team, which is, the Chiefs are going up against the best running back in the league, and, the defense was really good this year, but it did at times struggle against the run. So CMC taking over a game, to the point where the Chiefs start to adjust and, you know, play a little bit further up, crowd the box a little bit, and then, you know, that play action type of deal where you see them attack that second level. You know, if there's a liability coverage wise, it's at the linebacker position. So Kittle and, you know, some of the quick things that they like to do with Deebo Samuel sticks out. I think Ayuk will be handled. You know, it's more of those other guys that jump out to me, but I don't know it. As much as I say that those guys worry me, the Chiefs have the ultimate trump card in Steve Spagnuolo. You know, they'll have a really sound plan. Brock Purdy's never going to be comfortable. You know, we know all these things, so that helps to diffuse these really potent weapons that San Francisco has.
Still kind of staying in this same game real quick before we go to a break and come back with Yo Pete, where you can ask Pete anything. 913-586-7610. My job is over at that point. It's your job. Text line 913-586-7610. Yo Pete at 645. Okay, Brock Purdy, right? We talked about that. Brock Purdy versus Patrick Mahomes. Like, we go into every matchup in the playoffs, at least I hope sane and intelligent people do, and you look at the matchup of head coach versus quarterback, head coach versus quarterback, and in every matchup in the AFC, the Chiefs have been superiorly more dominant than the opposing head coach and quarterback. I thought Josh Allen was decent. I thought Lamar Jackson played his worst game of the season, and then you look at Tua, it was like a whole nother world playing in that playoff game in Kansas City in frigid temperatures. This is a game where Mahomes is, what, 3-0 versus San Francisco, and he's 3-0 in Vegas' stadium, or 4-0. He hasn't lost, I think, at all when it comes to the what these terms are. You kind of got to think, like, is Brock Purdy going to have to put – is again, you look at last week, pressure was on Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson's the season MVP. Lamar Jackson got the contract. Baltimore had their number one seed, home field advantage. And then here comes in strolling Patrick Mahomes, just, I'll do what I do best, and that's win in the playoffs. Same kind of scenario, at least I think on that side for San Francisco. Like Brock Purdy, like, yeah, you came back from behind twice in the playoffs. You've got your team to basically the NFC Championship game in back-to-back years, and now you're, you know, in the Super Bowl this year. Is there an immense amount of pressure on Brock Purdy, or are we now at the Super Bowl where it's like Mahomes gets a ring here, mm-hmm. then we're really talking about chasing legacies?
Yeah, I look at the last part of the season, which is usually a really good indicator of where these teams stand heading into what is the ultimate game. And if you look at Christmas Day, the Chiefs and the 49ers suffered bad losses on Christmas Day. You know, you talk about the Chiefs dropping a game to the Raiders, who, you know, should have never been in a game with them, especially just considering where the Chiefs are now. And then with the 49ers, they struggled against a good Ravens team, and that was never really a game. The Ravens kind of came out and smacked them in the mouth. If you look at the games to follow, the 49ers were able to beat the Commanders 27-10 the next week. But if you remember, that game was 13-10 at halftime. It was basically tied. It could have went either way. And then finally, they kind of figured it out. The Commanders are not a talented football team, but for them to be in that game really stood out to me. And they didn't have to play in week 18 because they had the bye wrapped up. And then you would have thought, okay, the starters 2 weeks later would be fine. But there's a reasonable case. We all watched the NFC games. Like, right. They should have maybe lost to Green Bay. They should have probably lost if it hadn't been for certain things happening in the second half to the Detroit Lions. And I just think the Chiefs have played more complete. It was a big turning point for the Chiefs in that Raiders game. They played more as a more complete team ever since and gained confidence as you went, where, I don't know, San Fran has had all these close calls. And to your point, the Chiefs have the very clear quarterback advantage, which is the number one position. So getting back to our first point, I don't know how the Chiefs figure as the underdogs. I do think they should be slight favorites in the other direction.
Shame. Shame. Someone who's not an underdog, but a hero dog to everybody, that's Pete Sweeney. His segment, Yo Pete, and your segment, 913-586-7610. It is the AP mailbag to finish this show 1 week before the Super Bowl season. We got here. It's because of, the Chiefs winning and because of you listening. 913-586-7610. Yo Pete on the other side is the AP mailbag is next here on 610 Sports Radio. You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back here on Arrowhead Pride Radio on a Wednesday night. Coming up next, it's that betting show with Super Gold. He'll have you for all of your betting content live at the Hollywood Casino. He's there at the sportsbook, man. This is the biggest time of the year. You want all your advice for this big game that's coming up in a couple, you know, days, where I guess more like a week and a half. You want some player props. You want some Gatorade color props. You want some national anthem props. What's the first song Usher's going to sing? Super Gold.
Super Gold.
Yep, that's what we're calling him these next week and a half.
Super Gold.
Yep. He's almost been in as many Super Bowls as Patrick Mahomes.
You guys are both eligible bachelors. You know what you ought to do is
what's that?
Go out together. Like, kind of like bid as a teammate. So you go on a double date.
Yeah, but I feel like we'd start having like too many sports discussions or like right. doing too much people watching to where people came over like, not right now, ladies.
No, you guys should figure it out. You guys should figure it out.
Yeah. I need to, because I'm just simply too good.
If you know two eligible bachelorettes that are interested in two very successful radio hosts.
Why do you keep trying to get me hitched?
Are you
wanting somebody on like a double date with you in a really bad way?
I just know that
no one cares.
You have some feelings to offer, you know, sweet lady, and they deserve to be shared.
Every week, send us your questions
Sorry.
On Twitter at Arrowhead Pride and at 610 Sports KC. Now it's time for the mail.
Yo, Pete from the 81630. I'm just kidding. I'm going to get my actual number out. You can't force it. It's got to fall into your lap, and you got to believe that it's real. But real questions when it comes to the text line from the 816. Yo, Pete, you love to see it. I have to do it because you just did it to me. With Charles Omenihu injured, can we please sign the legend, the shark, Frank Clark, for the Super Bowl? Thank you, Big P, for Arrowhead Pride Radio. You're the best. Dusty, you're okay, too.
Yeah, probably not going to happen. Okay. Frank Clark went to Denver, was cut, went to Seattle, same ending there. Usually a sign of the end. We've seen a number of Chiefs go to a team or two after they were pretty much done. And, you know, I think the writing's on the wall there, so... As fun as that would be, I don't anticipate it happening.
Yo, Pete, from the 913, do you think the second half was by design for the Kansas City Chiefs? Yo, Pete, well, from the 913.
That's what Ron was alluding to a bit. Just, you know, that they're more comfortable with playing that conservative game now. And why not when your defense is playing that well? I think they really established themselves, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Steve Spagnuolo's winning this one. He has the Ravens' number. He's got their plan down. Why mess with a two-score lead? Ravens eventually were able to cut it to one, but, you know, by then, too little, too late. And the kicker had ticked off the tight end and the quarterback so much by that point that I think it was a no-brainer. Yeah.
Yo, Pete, questions keep piling up. From the 720, do you think Bolton's cast on his arm has affected his play negatively and that teams are targeting him? Question mark, from B. Sheep in Colorado.
Yeah, I think naturally, right? It's tough enough for linebackers to catch a football. They're linebackers, but you throw a club on an arm, it's a little bit tougher. I don't know if they're intentionally targeting Bolton. I think what you've seen a lot is teams trying to scheme up this idea of attacking the Chiefs at that intermediate level, and so... They're going to have to be good in that area of the field, especially with some of the weapons the 49ers have. But look, they got 2 weeks to install that and work on it.
True, true.
Yeah.
From the 913, Yo, Pete. Lions gash the Niners on the ground. What are the chances a healthier Isaiah Pacheco runs for 150, not one, but two touchdowns, and Mahomes just manages the rest, watching his running back cruise to the first Super Bowl MVP by a running back since Terrell Davis? That comes from R. Mac and PV.
Yeah, that's the difference in this game. The 49ers defense just looks vulnerable right now, and the Chiefs offense is coming on. You know, I think regardless of opponent, we've seen the Chiefs dominate on defense, so that kind of has been a staple here. I think what has developed in the right way for Chiefs fans is the offense coming on, and again, the Niners defense looking as bad as it's looked all year in the right time, so... I like that advantage. And yeah, why not? 150 and two for Pacheco. Put your bet in.
That'd be a hell of a two-leg parlay.
It'd be an MVP performance if you have a 150. You know,
it'd be the first one since Terrell Davis.
Could be.
Yeah. Never know. From the 417, yo, Dusty. So we'll punt to Pete. Why has everyone forgotten about the Chiefs and what they did to the 49ers last when they got CMC, when our defense wasn't even one of the top defenses in the league? From the 417, yo, Pete, slash Dusty.
Teams are so different by the time you play them again.
Wasn't that his first game and he'd only been there like 2 days?
48 hours. Yeah. Yeah, I don't
hate to see it.
I don't know if there's a ton to be drawn from that, but it does help to have that under your belt. I mean, when you have the players here that were able to do that, at least it's not the first time that they're experiencing the power that is CMC. What a back. What a back.
Okay. Yo, Pete, what percentage do you think Willie Gay will play from the 785?
I mean, I can tell you what I saw. I was in outside the locker room in Baltimore as I watched that man with the boombox dance his way down the hall. I got to think in 14 days he's going to be okay to play.
All right.
So I'm going to say near 100% if they need it.
All right. Yo, Pete, are you betting on the game? I don't know if you can give out that information.
I mean, I'm in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I don't work for NFL Network.
It's legal.
Yeah. Might put some MVP bets in person.
How many units? You like how I did that?
Yeah. I don't know. Depends on who you bet.
3 of 4 from the 785. Yo, Pete, our offense has seemed to work more smoothly since Andy Reid went to the tight set and allowed the running game to open up the passing game. Do you think we will have the same game plan against those 49ers?
Yeah, it's just a simplified game plan, allowing the guys to work in space. And it seems like when all those reports came out about that happening, the Chiefs have never looked back. And so you just hope that continues for one more game.
From the 573, yo, Pete, you think McDuffie gets his first career interception in the Super Bowl? I think. What do you think?
No.
Okay. That was quick.
I don't think he's had an interception since 2020 in college. Actually, it wasn't even his last year in college.
Dang.
So the odds are no. But who knows? Maybe this is the time to change that.
We saw touchdowns,
right?
Yeah.
Last year from Tony and Moore. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, I was there. Not there, but I was in the moment.
Watching?
I was watching.
Were you watching with Miller Lights?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's your drink of choice.
The last 2 weekends, it's been Busch Light.
I did see this on the gram. I saw that after the game, you got on a knee and chugged.
That's been the tradition. Every AFC Championship game win, you go to a knee and chug.
Mm.
Last year, we did it to Should Have Been a Cowboy, and we did it again this year to Should Have Been a Cowboy.
All right.
Just how we roll, man.
Yeah.
We get those little heart taps on Instagram.
Yeah,
when we do.
Yeah, I bet you do.
You're probably wondering why I'm still single. That's why. Hey, no, Pete, from the 417, do you have a plaid bedspread?
No, I'm not. I'm not in charge of that. I've lost that. There's like throw pillows. I think it's like orangish. It's fine. It's not plaid though.
From the 913, yo, Pete, what do you think the odds are of Travis Kelce getting 3 touchdowns and tying Jerry Rice's all-time touchdown postseason record?
Why not?
Stop giving these people bad information to give parlay. You know these people are going to parlay that.
It's the year of Kelce.
Okay.
SNL, pop star girlfriend, 3 tutties in the Super Bowl.
Yo, Pete, even with 2 extra weeks to recover, I'm assuming Tooney, Naughty, McKinnon, and Cook will miss the Super Bowl? ? From the 913, yo, Pete, last one.
Who is it?
I'm out of breath. Tooney, Naughty, McKinnon, and Cook.
Tooney, I think he'll miss. Naughty, I think will miss. McKinnon will miss. Brian Cook will miss. Yes, that is correct. All 4 will be out, I think. Only one who has a chance is Tooney. A far chance.
I wonder if there's going to be another Super Bowl where there's an octopus. That's a real thing. Look it up. You can check it out. Jalen Hurts did it last year. It's like plus 10,000. Coming up next, it is That Betting Show with Super Gold.
Super Gold.
Alex Gold, baby.
Super Gold.
Coming up live from the Hollywood Casino. Wow. That was Pete Sweeney. Thanks to Grant Nicholson. Thanks to Ron Kopp Jr. I'm Dusty Likens. This has been Arrowhead Pride Radio. Again, do nice things for people. It's cool to care. Stay nice and stay safe, Kansas City. See you tomorrow night.